Good morning. Good morning. It's like a reunion here at the radio station. For years ago, I worked for the Standard Times, maybe a little less, I don't remember, but I covered Wareham in the year 2000. And I covered, because I love it, local government, and I had the opportunity to cover the Board of Selectmen, Select Board, I think we called it the Board of Selectmen back then, in Wareham. And at that time, there was a member of that board. Renee Fernandes was a member of that board. A lot of time has gone by since then, and she's a resident of Ward 5 and seeking, once again, elected office as the Ward 5 city councilor. Good morning, Renee. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me this morning.
And I was glad you recognized me. I thought I would have changed more, but maybe not. I thought you did a wonderful job out in Wareham, and a lot has happened since then in your life professionally, and a lot of people know you as the former treasurer of the city of New Bedford, brought in by Scott Lang. And then now you've been up until very recently, you were the...
Treasurer collector
in
the town of Middleborough.
So you've got a lot of experience in government. Why Ward 5, Renee?
Well, Ward 5 because that's where I live, Chris. And my foray into politics this time around, I mean, I didn't want to go for the gusto. You know, yep. I mean, people said to me, you should run for councilor at large. And that's a possibility someday. But right now, I want to start small, you know, in my own backyard.
Right, right. How's the campaign been so far?
It's been really good. I've been out and I've talked to a lot of people. I'm very fortunate that Ward 5 is a neighborhood of very informed voters.
Yes.
They understand what's going on in the community and in government. And I'm really there because I think we're all ready for change. You know, there are a lot of issues that we need to talk about, the budget being the number one issue for the entire city.
Okay.
You know, when I bought my house in 2013, the budget was about $284 million. Mm-hmm. 13 years has gone by and we're up to $561 million. I mean, that's almost a 98% increase. You know, we need to start asking why. What are the cost drivers behind that? And then what are we going to do about them?
Speaking with Renee Fernandes.
Fernandes.
No Abbott. Okay. Renee Fernandes. But I, you know, so Renee Fernandes, who's running in Ward 5 to be your city councilor, the budget. I hear that all the time from my callers. All the time they talk about that and their taxes. And I know a lot of people in Ward 5, one less now. What are the other issues in Ward 5 for you?
Well, so Ward 5, I think, it's a different kind of neighborhood as far as I'm concerned mm-hmm. in terms of New Bedford. Ward 5 is literally, when I say that, it is a neighborhood. It's made up of lots of residential housing. There's not a lot of commerce in Ward 5. So I think the important thing in Ward 5 that people really, people stress and it's very important to them is that it's safe, it's clean, and that they have a voice, in government because they care, they're informed, they see what's going on. You know, I mean, primarily, if you look at this race coming up and you look at even the candidates, I mean, an awful lot of the candidates live in Ward 5.
They
so
do.
That should tell you something.
Yes. Yes. You have a state representative, a former mayor, the current mayor, And it's a very, very active ward.
Yep, the senator.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Senator Montigny lives there. On your message to me and on your website, you say character should matter. Character should matter. What do you mean by that, Renee?
Well, I mean, I really think so. Like as I said to you, when I decided to run for this position, I mean, I was running. My decision was based on change. I thought we really needed a change in the city.
Mm-hmm.
My opponent sort of gave me a little bit of an edge, I think.
Okay.
And I don't, and I hate to say it like that because I think a person's character, you know, and who they are when they stand up as a person mm-hmm. is very, very important.
Sure. You know? Sure.
So that's what I mean by character. I mean, and I really didn't want to talk about the lawsuit or the alleged lawsuit that involved my opponent, but you know, one of the main things that I took out of that after I read it was that, you know, as a resident of Ward 5 and a resident of the city of New Bedford, not necessarily a candidate for the position, I mean, I would call for you to step down because you are not the person that I would want representing me.
We have Renee Fernandez here. How did you come to work for the city of New Bedford number of years ago now, quite a few years ago now, you were the treasurer collector for the city. How did you come to work for the city, Renee?
Well, that's very interesting. So I was actually still in Wareham. I was a selectman, and I was finishing up my degree in accounting at UMass.
Okay.
So at the end of your years, when you're about to graduate, you have the opportunity to do an internship.
Mm-hmm.
And an internship happened to come up in the city of New Bedford in the auditor's office.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I'll do that. I can do that. I know government. I was already a municipal treasurer at that point. And I said, I know government. I can do that. So I got there, and I didn't realize at that point that the current treasurer was gone. So they were operating without a treasurer.
Okay.
And it was Scott Lang, who was the mayor at the time, and I happened to be sitting in the auditor's office one day with this former CFO, Norm Audette, and the former auditor, Peter Schmidt, and they were talking about they needed to find a treasurer. So I'm sitting there typing at the computer, and I happen to look up, and I say, I'm a municipal treasurer, and like, it kind of just blew everybody away, and they're
right?
Like, what?
Right?
You know, so at that point, I was sashayed right over to Scott Lang, you
okay.
know, and I had a couple of conversations with Scott Lang, and of course, you know, he was like, you can do this job. And I'm like, and I was very scared because I worked in Wareham. We had like a $5 million budget.
Right.
I'd worked as a district treasurer. You know, I was a selectman and I knew government, you know, and I was very apprehensive to do it. And the one thing that Scott Lang said to me, he said, the principles are the same in government.
Right, right.
He said, all you have to do is add a few more zeros, Renee. So I went away thinking that I have an opportunity to work for the fifth largest city in the Commonwealth.
Right.
You know, I can do it and I can exceed, or I can do it and I can fail. And in the end, I can still say I worked for the fifth largest city in the Commonwealth.
Right.
So I jumped in. I worked with Scott for 5 years. Scott left, and then John Mitchell came in. And of course, you know that in those department head positions, you serve at the pleasure of the administration or
yes.
of the mayor at that point.
Right.
So I met with John, not knowing what my future was going to hold. And lo and behold, he kept me, and I stayed with John for 10 years until I left. So, yeah, so I had a very long career with the city of New Bedford.
Yeah, you really did. I remember when you came over, I said, I know her. I covered her wearing. I thought you did a great job out there. So I know both mayors, and I think they really both think you did a good job here. I certainly know Scott Lang does think that. So, as you know, from being on the inside of municipal government, you need the mayor to get things done. Do you believe you'll be able to work with the current mayor, even though you're obviously going to have disagreements with him on certain philosophical stuff and basic issues? Do you believe you can work with the current mayor of the city?
Chris, I believe that I can, and I'll say to you that before I went on vacation, I actually did meet with John.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I went and talked to John because, you know, I felt that my exit strategy from the city wasn't great. You know, John and I had, we had a disagreement.
Okay.
And I just wanted him to know that, you know, I'm willing to work with him. Collaboration is very, very important, as
sure.
I'm willing to work with all of the councilors. And I mean, I'm not coming in there to be like, I'm not going to be like the doorstop to anything. I'm willing to listen and work and understand. So it was important that I met with John and let him know that. And part of the reason when I left the city, you know, of course, I'm always disillusioned about a lot of things. So my disillusionment with the city when I left was that, you know, I always felt that, I mean, I think John Mitchell, believe me, he's a very smart guy.
Sure.
I mean, you don't find people much more intelligent than John Mitchell, except Scotland. But, John has his visions.
Yeah.
And as his administration below him, I always felt like I just never know where he's at. And I said to him when I was leaving, I said, it's really funny because I have to turn on the radio to know what you're thinking. You know, it's not like you have meetings and you share your visions with everybody so that we can all get on board and go with you. It's more like you have visions and then you execute them. But to me, that wasn't what government was supposed to be about.
We have Renee Fernandez. She's seeking to be the Ward 5 city councilor. The election is tomorrow. And you were just on vacation. And there's a legitimate reason for it. It was probably not the best timing for the politics of it. But explain to people why you just were on vacation. It's a pretty big moment in your life.
Yeah, it actually was a big moment in my life. So when I left the city 3 years ago, I signed a contract with the town of Middleborough to be their treasurer collector for 3 years. That my term with Middleborough was coming to an end, and I decided that I didn't want to continue. I went to Middleborough because I was looking for representational government where people actually had a voice in their government. I was used to, when I was in Wareham, it was town meeting.
Yes.
Everyone had a say. Everyone voted on everything. And even so much as in terms of the select board meetings when I was in Wareham, you know, we had citizen participation all the time. People were always able to stand up and speak their mind publicly out loud.
Yes.
And we don't have that in New Bedford. So I went to Middleborough searching for that.
Okay.
And when I went, I actually thought that, well, I didn't have a residency requirement anymore in New Bedford, so I didn't have to stay here.
Right.
And I thought that, okay, here's my opportunity. I can leave. Well, 3 years went by, and I was in Middleborough, and it was just like I thought it was, representational government. I went to town meetings. You know, a lot of people had a lot of things to say, but I never had anything to say because I wasn't a resident.
Right.
And every single day, I left Middleborough and I came home to New Bedford to the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 years later, I realized that I'm here. I love where I live. I love my house. I love New Bedford. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
So I need to make a difference.
Yes.
I need to make the difference. And you can only make a difference one person at a time.
Right. Right. And so getting on the city council is the only way you can really get involved.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I can tell you that I have, you know, I watch city council meetings, and I'm actually friends with a lot of the councilors because over my 15 years with the city, I've worked with primarily all of them.
Sure.
I think Sean and Leo are probably the only two that didn't serve, you know, when I
that would make sense,
when
right.
I was the treasurer. So, you know, you sort of have a line to them, like you can text them, you can do whatever. And I would be watching meetings and texting them at the same time, like, are you kidding me? I can't believe you just said that or you did that, and then they don't respond because then I felt like, you know, once they get in and once they become the counselor, you know, they just feel like I can do whatever I want. Like, I don't have to work for anybody anymore for 2 years. I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with that. So I am a staunch supporter of term limits.
Okay.
I am a very staunch supporter of the recall provision.
Yes.
And I'm a very staunch supporter of people having the right to speak.
Speak at the meetings. That has been a very contentious thing. I know that Leo Choquette up in Ward 1, who you didn't have the opportunity yet to work with, he started doing these meetings. He calls, you know, everybody in Ward 1, but it's really for the whole city up at Pulaski School. So it's like a town meeting. Everybody can speak. Is that something you would consider in for Ward 5?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I have already told Councilman Carney, because she actually runs the Ward 5 neighborhood meetings. I don't know why she does and not the Ward 5 counselor.
Right.
But I basically said to her, when I am ward counselor, I am taking over these meetings. You know, we're going to have a different agenda. We're going to do things a little bit differently. You know, I mean, I don't want people just to come to the meetings because they have a bitch. Excuse my language.
No, go ahead. It's okay.
Because they have a bitch.
Yes.
I want people to come to the meetings because they love Ward 5 and they want to make Ward 5 a better place.
Right.
I don't want you to just come home and think like everything's wonderful for me. I want to make everything wonderful for everybody.
Right. Right. We have Renee Fernandes. Renee, do you have a website people can get to and find out more about you, maybe get involved in your campaign?
Yep. It's rreneefernandes.com. Yep. And I have a Facebook page, which is Elect Renee Fernandes.
Elect Renee Fernandes. That's her Facebook page. We're going to take a break. If you have a question for her, she's here in the studio, sitting right here. And we're going to take your questions at 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Sweet things from Boston, so young.
Welcome back to the program. You know, for 78 years, Carter's Clothing has been South Coast's nonstop, one-stop shopping place, right? Carter's Clothing, family-owned business, has been outfitting from head to toe the people of South Coast for 78 years. And Carter's is still your go-to store for top name brand in clothing and footwear. Brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, and New Balance, and many, many more. At Carter's, you'll find 75 styles of boots, from steel-toe boots, insulated boots, waterproof boots, along with high-visibility workwear, flannels, and thermals. There's free parking at both locations, the one on William Street in downtown New Bedford, and the Plymouth Ave location in Fall River. Free parking makes your life a lot easier, right? Carter's Clothing, you can trust them. You know them. They know you. We've all been shopping at Carter's all of our lives now. Go to Carter's Clothing today. It's a great day to do it. We have Renee Fernandes here seeking your vote in Ward 5 to be the city councilor. I asked her off the air during that break, what do you want to talk about? And she said, there's only one thing to talk about, the budget. Ask me about the budget. So here we are, Renee. Tell me about the budget, what you think you can do for the budget.
Well, I'm not going to say I can do anything about the budget alone.
That's true.
Because it's not about me.
Right.
It's a collaboration, again, between the administration and the city council working to construct a budget that's in the best interests of all of the residents of
sure.
the city of New Bedford. But one of the things we need to talk about in the budget are what are the cost drivers? And we all know what they are. It's health insurance. It's pension costs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the two biggest things.
Yes.
And in terms of health insurance, I can tell you, Chris, that even when I worked for the city of New Bedford, and even as far back as Mayor Lang, the issue with the double-digit increases in the cost of health insurance was a concern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's continued right up now to John Mitchell, where in this last budget, I think that the increase in health insurance, I think it was 11%
okay.
in a year over year.
Yes.
Which is a lot of money.
Sure.
So we need to look at that. And one of the things that Mayor Mitchell has proposed is for us to adopt the sections 21 and 23 of the Mass General Law, which would allow, you know, the city to be able to, you know, look at plan designs and different types of things.
Yes.
This has come up in the past, and I recall this even when I was the treasurer. And the city council, right up until now, have refused to take that on.
They have.
I'm not quite sure why. Because when you're looking at increases like that, I don't know how any city councilor can look in the face of their constituents and say, I'm doing everything I can to keep your taxes low. Okay. If you're not able to have that dialogue and talk about and look at what are some of the things that we may be able to do to mitigate health insurance, and I'm not saying that it's going to make it less for anybody, and I've heard that, you're taking away benefits from our employees. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that.
Okay.
In Middleborough, when I left New Bedford and I went to Middleborough, I moved from Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cadillac Health Insurance, mm-hmm. to the GIC.
Okay.
Which basically was Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
Okay.
Not a lot different. And the thing with the GIC that I found very interesting was that there was a lot more choice. In New Bedford, health insurance, I believe now everybody is in an HMO.
Okay.
You know, in the GIC, you have your choice to be in an HMO, a PPO, a POS. New Bedford has moved all of those away. The only thing New Bedford can do right now in terms of their health insurance is, I mean, they can change co-payments, and they've done that already. Okay. They've increased co-payments for the employees.
Okay.
And I know that some years back they made a change to the Medicare. I mean, they went into the Medicare surcharge program. So all of the retired employees no longer could have like active health insurance. They had to go into choose a Medicare Part B plan. And the GIC has all of those things as well. But there are a lot more choices that are available to everybody. So in Middleborough, I mean, we have employees that have, there's an 80-20 split, there's a 70-30 split, there's a 60-40 split. Mm-hmm. And depending on what you want, that's what you choose.
Okay.
So it makes a big difference. And sections 21 and 23 doesn't necessarily mean that you have to change from where you are. But it does look at, you can look at different plan designs.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't mean we're going to go to the GIC. It may mean that we're going to go out to bid and look for a different insurer. And then we have the PEC and the administration have the ability to negotiate
yes.
the terms of that. And the only time Section 21 and 23 come into play is when there's a disagreement and they can't come to terms.
Okay.
You know, so at that point, you can bring in a mediator to sort of work out, you know, what's in the best interest of everybody. And that's what a mediator does, you know, not that you're right or you're right.
Right.
They try to come meet in the middle.
Yes.
And that's the important thing. You know, I mean, I don't think that we can afford double-digit increases to our health insurance year over year over year.
We're speaking with Renee Fernandez. She's seeking your vote in Ward 5 to be on the city council. Who do you think you work closely with on the city council? I know you said you, as a treasurer, you worked with a lot of them. Who do you see on the council that, because nothing can be done alone, as you pointed out, that you would work well with?
Well, it's really interesting that you say that. So I think I'm looking forward. First of all, let me say this.
Sure.
I was really hoping that I was going to have the opportunity to work with Linda Morad. I'll tell you, when I was a treasurer mm-hmm. and I had to go before Linda Morad, she was tough.
Yeah.
She was smart.
Very smart.
She was tough.
Yes.
And usually she was right.
Okay.
But when you're standing on the other side of that podium, you can't say, you're right, Councilor Morad, because you knew who you were working for.
Yeah.
you know, so, I mean, I really respect Linda for, you know, her financial prowess.
I think we all do, yeah.
And her ability to, like, get right down into the nitty-gritty of what's going on and seeing things for what they really, really were.
Right.
That being said, I'm really sorry to see her go. Thank you, Linda, for your service, if you're listening. I really liked the idea, or liked in the last budget session, that Leo brought up the not the level-funded budget.
That's yes.
that's where we need to go from. And I actually applauded Leo for that. And then I wanted to take it one step further that
okay.
I thought that, you know, we really need to start with a zero balance budget. So when you talk about a zero balance budget, it's everybody starts their budget with zero.
Yes.
Well, let me back up for a minute.
Sure.
So a level funded budget, and I had a level funded budget for the entire time I worked for the city of New Bedford. We never increased anything except for personnel. So in my budget, if I had something that might have been a cushion, you know, I carried it year over year over year.
Yes.
One of the things that I was able to carry, and this shouldn't say this.
Go ahead.
So in the tax title line, so tax title is the money that you put aside so that you're able to lien property, foreclose on property, et cetera.
Right.
So that is one of two things on the recap that you're actually able to raise without question. You know, so year over year, they would say, how much money do you want in the tax title account? So I'd go, oh, maybe we can put $10,000, $15,000. So that $10,000 or $15,000 then became part of your budget. So it got level funded the next year.
Right.
And every year you were adding more money to it.
Right.
Every single year. No one ever asked me, how's that money being spent? You know? So the interesting thing was that my department always became, at the end of the year, when it came time, the end of the year, and everybody's scoffing for, you know, they need money over here, they need money over there. Oh, the treasurer has money, let's take it from there.
Right. They would take it out of your budget.
Exactly, yes.
The city council would transfer it.
Well, transfer.
At the mayor's request.
At the mayor's request, correct. So, I mean, so that's part of the things that we need to get away from. So I think we need to get back to, you know, a zero balanced budget where everybody starts at zero. So then you ask the questions, you know, what is your mission? You know, what is your statutory obligatory mission to do your job? And to do that, how many people do you need?
Yes.
You know, and then you build it from there. So it becomes part that everybody's actually doing just what they're supposed to be doing, not that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but wouldn't it be nice if we did this also? You know, that
right.
type of thing. I really think that we need to change our mindsets and think in terms of that. Start at the beginning. So, and then the other thing about that is I sort of lost my train here.
It's okay. So I was asking you about who you could work, who do you look forward to working with when you get elected to the city council?
And I didn't answer you, did I?
No, you did. Leo, you said.
I look forward to working with Leo, and I also look forward to working with Sean.
Sean Oliver.
Yeah, yeah. Sean Oliver, absolutely. Because I think that the two of them coming in as new, yeah. that's where I see new, different perspectives,
right.
fresh ideas. And the thing is that when you're coming into something new, you're not afraid to say you want to do things and say why or why not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why can't I do it? You
right.
know what I mean? And that's the important thing. So to me, it's sort of like an excitement. When
yeah.
somebody new comes in and you get excited
right.
and I want to make change and I'll throw everything against the wall and you know nothing. Some things just don't stick.
Right.
But sometimes things do.
Yeah.
You know? And I think they've both done a really great job with that.
508-996-04 with Renee Fernandes here in the studio. I've known her for years. I covered her when she was on the Board of Selectmen in Wareham, and then she was the city treasurer. So really delighted. And she's seeking your vote in Ward 5. I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Mac Auto Sales, 188 Rivet Street in the city of New Bedford. This is a family-owned business. When you go there to get your car repaired, as you should, or to get your car ready for the coming cold weather, and I know you need to, make an appointment today. Call Mac Auto Sales and Repair, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. Now, you have a foreign car, that's perfect. Tim Weisberg has a foreign car. He brings his car to Mac Auto Sales, and I can tell you, because I ride in it, it rides like a new car. Mention WBSM, and they'll give you a 10% discount. When you go to Mac Auto Sales, ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars. We'll be right back. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
I already bought the dream. So-
back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We have Renee Fernandez here. Just a delightful conversation. She's running for Ward 5. Knowledgeable conversation. She's running for the city council. Your observations as a professional, municipal finance professional, on cut night with the city council. What would you do to make that better? Could you make it better? And what do you think on the budget process overall, Renee?
The budget process overall, I think the budget process for the FY27 budget needs to start now. So in June, they adopt a budget for FY26. In December, they set a tax rate based on that budget. But what we're doing at that point, we're not looking at actual dollars and cents of what's spent for 6 months out of the year.
Okay.
You know, probably in December, the city council should start looking at an FY27 budget. I know that the administration starts looking at the budget probably in January. That's when
sure.
they start reaching out to department heads and saying, okay, it's time to formulate your budget for FY27. And all of that culminates into, you have budget hearings, and you have every department come before you. And maybe sometimes in the council, you may see those departments one time when they come before you for the budget
right. Every
year. And I think it's important that as counselors, that we have more meetings with departments to understand more about how the budget that we voted for them, how it's working for them.
Yes.
You know, I mean, so throughout the year, there are a lot of changes, a lot of different things happen throughout the year that, you know, you actually see the need in the next cycle to actually strengthen a budget or to pull back on a budget. And it's hard not to know that. And it's hard to know that after the fact.
Yes.
So, and cut night is a joke.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
The hardest thing for me is to not know. You know, I mean, it's become a very sort of closed city council group in terms of we're not going to, and nobody's going to know what we're going to cut,
mm-hmm.
you know, until the very last minute.
Right.
I really think cut night needs to be more collaborative with the administration and the department heads, because if you're looking to cut a department's budget,
right.
you know what I mean? I think that they need to know that.
Yes.
Not at the very last minute.
Right.
So that they're making adjustments for it or pleading their case. Those things are very, very important. There needs to be more dialogue, more conversation in terms of cut night. And not for nothing, Chris, if you're going to cut $10 million from the budget, cut $10 million from the budget.
Right.
Don't cut it and then give it back.
Yes.
Okay, that is seriously stupid.
And, well, it's political gamesmanship. It's just done. It's optics. Mm-hmm. It's optics. It is not respecting the voters, not respecting the taxpayers. You know you're tricking them.
Yeah. So do you recall, like, back in 2008 when we had the 9C cuts in the city?
I do. Well, I know, yeah, because still talk about them, yeah.
Yeah. So I can remember back then, and Mayor Lang was there, and he had proposed to us, because we had to do all of these cuts, he wanted us to furlough. He didn't want to lay anybody off in the city. And he said, how about if everybody took a 10% furlough? You know, and some agreed to it and some didn't. And in the end, it didn't work out because we couldn't get the unions to agree to that.
Okay.
Because it became an issue of the unions with them eating their young. Because, of course, last
hired,
out,
first gone.
First gone, exactly.
Right.
So we ended up actually having to do a lot of layoffs to people and let them go in the city.
Yes.
That really shrunk government. But you want to know, in the end, we still functioned as a government. We made it work with less people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you may have to do more, you know?
Yes.
Sometimes you may have to, you know, reimagine or recreate how you're doing things.
Right.
But that's what you do, and you get the job done. And that's what's important about government. Regardless of how much money you have or you don't have, you still have a job to do, and you have to get it done.
Yes. the consistency.
Yes.
You're just got the government is always going to be there, and that's something Americans, whether it's on the federal level or the local level, count on. State as well. We have Renee Fernandez here. She's seeking your vote if you live in Ward 5. I know a lot of people in my audience want to vote for you now, no matter where they live, but it's only Ward 5 at this moment that gets to vote for Renee. But what a professional she is. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. City Council, she wants to exchange places with Joe Lopes. Renee, the taxes. You pay the taxes. You're a homeowner in the city. Talk about that, what your goal would be as a city councilor.
Well, my goal as a city councilor would be to try to rein in the budget as much as possible because, I mean, that's the direct correlation to taxes.
Sure.
It's really about the budget. And we need to talk about that. And I say, is our budget too high? Why is it too high? And if, in fact, that is what we have to pay, I want every taxpayer to understand what they're paying for, what their dollar is buying them, whether it's education, public safety, you know, your streets being cleaned, all of those things, you know, your cultural stuff, the recreation, all of it coming together. And then once we are all informed about what it is we're paying for, I mean, then we make the decision, is this what we want?
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, as residents of the city, we all have a choice.
Yes.
The choice is that if we don't like it, we don't have to live here. You know, but as long as we're here, we have to do what we can to make it amenable and affordable to everybody that's here.
Affordability, how important is that?
Affordability is very important.
Yes.
But, I mean, you actually have to weigh that. You know, it's a balancing act.
Yes.
You know, affordability is a balancing act in terms of, you know, what do you want? What are you willing to accept, you know, and what are you not willing to accept, you know? It's economics, you know, supply and demand, the whole bit.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not happy with the taxes I pay.
Right.
But I know a lot of people aren't happy with the taxes that they pay, but certainly, I mean, in surrounding communities or even outside of the state, I mean, they're not faring much better than we are, quite frankly. I mean, actually, when you look at it, that in terms of taxes, I mean, we're still pretty low on the totem pole in terms of other Massachusetts communities.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, one of the other things I can tell you in my literature that I talked about, and, you know, I said that is everybody paying their fair share of taxes. So to me, that's important as well. So I can